Hello, my name is Erica Bobka.
And I'm Corey Nick.
And we're at the Avon Branch Library conducting an interview with Bob Fitch on September 10th, 2018 for the Avon, Ohio Oral Histories Project. Thank you for allowing us to interview you, Mr. Fitch. Will you share your birth date and age?
11/29/22. Be 96 next month.
Okay, and then you have your son and your granddaughter here with you. And what are your names?
William H. Fitch.
And I'm Lynn Fitch Maruskin.
Okay, thank you. So how long have you lived in Avon?
96 years. We'll be next month, 95 years.
So where in Avon did you grow up and where do you live now?
Same place.
Okay.
I grew up on Route 83.
On 83. When,
yeah.
Okay, and tell me about your family.
Yeah, I got four children, and the one boy's in Texas, and the daughter's in Hudson. She's been a teacher. Right now, there's 13 different that are in the school, teachers. Principals or teachers.
Okay. And then how about
your other two sons?
And then Dick owns the Fitch Farm Market, or took over running the farm. So then my sister's name was Mary, and then David was my youngest brother.
Okay. And so Mr. Fitch, how about growing up? Did you have siblings or anything?
I just said I got.
You know, you had Mary Margaret was.
I had a sister.
Okay. Great.
So she's been gone quite a few years now.
Okay. So what are some of your favorite family memories in Avon?
We just lived here and just things just kept happening, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There was 28 in my graduating class.
Okay.
But like I say, I live there. My brother lives there. You know, we've probably got, other than my youngest brother, David, he's an engineer, and he moved out to Texas, and then my sister's in Hudson, but relatively close, so it's pretty much family all been around this.
But when you were a kid or a teenager, what did you guys do for fun?
We raised soybeans and pigs for quite a few years after I was married.
Where did you go to school?
Avon. The one on Detroit Road. But the one when I there, it was original. In 41 and 2, they put an one room straight up addition on it. And then, a few years later, they put it on the other school.
Was that in elementary? Are you talking about an elementary school?
Village
school. Oh, okay.
What they call it, village school now.
So all grades went there, right?
Aye.
All the grades went there.
Yeah, we were all. Of course, I don't think they didn't even have kindergarten then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No.
Did you have a favorite teacher or subject or special memory of your school days that stands out?
Not too much. There was four teachers downstairs. They had two classes in each room. And then the freshmen were upstairs.
And how many buses were there?
They had four buses. And at one time, for a while, I don't know how many now, but buses made two trips. They take a group of children home, and then they come back and took. I don't know when that was, two or three years.
Wow. How are the schools in Avon different today?
Big, bigger. It was what, three? When his son graduated, it was what, 260?
Yeah,
about 260.
And you said when you graduated, how many were in your graduating class?
28.
Wow.
So are there any special community events in Avon that you remember from growing up here?
Not particularly. They used to have what they call it, flowers.
The Festival of Flowers.
Festival of Flowers. That's where they started. And then the group in that, that's when they started having what park is it now? The
Veterans Park, where duct tape or whatever.
Yeah, with the duct tape. But,
in the Little League Fields, that's where the Festival of Flowers was.
Yeah, originally it was Festival of Flowers.
And then you touched on this a little bit earlier, but what did you do for fun in Avon when you were younger, when you weren't farming?
Working.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not kidding
you.
Yeah. Did you guys have dances or anything like that at any buildings?
Avon, Iowa was big at that time, square dancing. People from all over used to come to Avon, Iowa. I still a couple in Spencer I worked with at GM, and they always came up for the dances. And then another couple that was all right, they met at Avon, Iowa. That's where they... And they got married, but one of them is still living, but the other one's gone.
Did you play any sports?
Basketball.
You ran and track. You ran track, yeah.
Okay, do you want to maybe talk about your farm a little bit here? About it, how it's still in the family, and give a little backstory on that, like we were talking about earlier?
Like when your grandpa had the farm, what he did, and then what you did next.
He farmed some, and he had two horses, and he was working at jobs. When they put started the Metropolitan Parks there at the Rocky River, it goes all the way. They had a team of horses, and he worked when they were making the roads. They had dump wagons and slip scrapers. And some of the high spots they took off, and the rivers, Rocky River, where the road went, they put a stone in there. There wasn't bridges; they were called
Yeah, that's what he would do during the winter time when they weren't farming. Mm-hmm. He'd do like logging, like up in Ridge Hill. Sullivan had a sawmill, and they'd pull logs out, and he'd do logging, and then. You know, just odds and ends that obviously.
And what years were those? Like the 20s, 30s?
Probably, right.
And then when you were in the 50s, the farm had a lot of animals.
I mean, he had about 60 acres as far as what they farmed. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, rented most of the vegetable farming was done right on the immediate farm. But then he would rent other properties. Up in North Ridgeville, pretty much we farmed a lot with soybeans and corn and that type, and wheat, probably 40, 50, 60 acres at a time. Where Mills Creek homes are right now, we mm-hmm. farmed part of that for a couple of years and that type of thing. But
okay, so this leads into this question pretty well. How has the community of Avon changed over the years? And so maybe you can add in a little bit how your farmland has changed too.
So it's just all of a sudden they start building. And I was on council for two terms when Northgate came in. That was the first development they had in Avon.
And what years was that, do you think?
It was probably in the 60s, mid-60s.
Yeah, probably a little late.
Yeah.
But Northgate, a builder built half of it. I mean, now it's half, but he that was the first large scale.
But basically all the good land that was great for growing vegetables, and this area is probably prime land for doing that, but developers all took off the good land. They didn't want to monkey with, where wetlands were or whatever. So, over the years, less and less land was available for them. He used to farm stuff down on Long Road. It was real good sand, fertile soil, but that was all taken over with houses and everything else. So basically, that's pretty much what eliminated all the other farmers. You can make a living on it to get by, but you know, that was about it. And as more and more, you know, development came in, you know, the farm, you know, the land, you know, came, it was better for, you know, developing houses and that type of thing. And that's where you kind of lost it. And luckily, the chunk of land that they still have, you know, is, you know, probably the last big area in Avon that is being used for that right now. Mm-hmm.
His golf course, that was a 100-acre vegetable farm at one time. Mm-hmm. And they grew and on 83, on the west side, there's six places in a row that they farmed vegetables. They took their stuff to Cleveland Market, and then they worked in Fruhall for Goodrich and steel plant in the wintertime, most of them did. Then they'd come back in the summer. Yeah. But they only had 8-10 acres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what kind of hurt the farmers and stuff downtown was they used to have individual people that come in and buy, and then they went to what they call commission houses. So instead of, like, he'd get up at 1 a.m, you know, we drive down into Cleveland, set up the, you know, the stand and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, to sell the stuff, and then probably come back home like 10 the next morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the people would be there to buy it. But then it got to the point where people couldn't do that, so they would send it to a commission house. The commission house would then buy all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the main grocers would, instead of bothering with you know, individual people, they would just go to one spot and say, I need 100 baskets of tomatoes, you know, 100 cabbage, you know, that, and order it all from there, and then it just be shipped out. So that kind of slowly, you know, like he said, there was 400 farmers at one time. You know, they went to, you know, 300, 200, you know, down to probably the last few years while I was open, there might have been, what, 30, 40 people that were there.
The most.
And that's the reason he had to he got out of, you know, full-time farming, and he went to work at General Motors for, I don't know, you were
17 years,
right, just to supplement, because you just couldn't, mm-hmm, you couldn't survive farming, basically.
Like on Madison Avenue, there used to be 7 grocery stores, and some of them, they would, the farmer would talk to them in the daytime, and if they wanted 10 baskets of this or 5, when he went into market at night, they left them sitting by the, they put them by the door. But
which
that when they,
mm-hmm,
they kept closing up, and that took out the little grower.
Because, you know, the same thing as the farmer was, there was a little grocery stores, mm-hmm, but they slowly got eaten up by, you know, the big supermarkets, and they couldn't compete in anything else. So once they closed, that was just a chain reaction. It just worked its way down, you know, mm-hmm, basically back to the farmer,
right,
on it.
Fisher Foods. Those two brothers, and they had I don't know how many stores around the area. And then they finally sold out to a group of Stop and Shops. And then from there on away, and then the Stop and Shops, they joined together. Each one was like Rennie Regals, Heinen's on the west side, or east side. They started out with 3 stores as Heinen Brothers. It was out East Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. There was one saying that he always said, it's the farming was the only industry that you bought retail and sold wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's basically what it was. You paid, you know, for gasoline, or you're paying for the retail. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the commission houses are always trying to buy it so that they can then retail it back again. So. Mm-hmm. You know, like I say, you bought it retail and sold wholesale, which is why you don't get ahead in the world.
Yeah. So what special things about Avon would you want people who did not grow up here to know?
Mm. The biggest thing, I think, there was so many families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was the...
It was about 5 or 6 big family, that all was along Detroit Road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the Nagels and, you know, the Fitches and Regelsbergers, and, you know, so you had all families, and they basically, you know, it was a tightly knit, which to a degree it still is. If anything, I think Avon's probably one of the only communities that you could actually say that, you know, you can open a yearbook and basically see, you know, generation after generation.
My mother's farm was right where Walmart, well, from Walmart East, that was where my mother grew up. They raised grapes. They used to be practically on the north side of Detroit Road, probably from, not quite to Vermilion, to downtown Lakewood. That was practically all grape vineyards.
Okay.
Because that ground was heavier, and it wasn't subject to for growing vegetables, but they grew grapes.
But his mother was a Peak, and there was Peak greenhouses and everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was part of that.
And I think what he still loves, he's always been the biggest local sports fan ever. So, you know, even coming to, my children are in the high school right now, and I was at high school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always trying to, like, okay, who, you know, trying to see if there's anybody, because I think there's so many new people in Avon, which is great. It's definitely a big, different community. But a lot of the people that were here still are here. So, you know, definitely in families move up, but there's so many of the families we're talking about between the Rickovics and Nagels and all Schwartz and all these families that they're still here. They're just mixed in with a lot more people now. So there's 300 and some kids in my freshman's class, but we can still find, ooh, there's a Rickovic, or there's, you know, there's another Fitch, or there's another, and people kind of know those names still, even though they're new to the area. They kind of know. So this will really, I think, help be more public to, you know, oh yeah, there's a teacher that's a Fitch, and there's a, you know, that we've still stayed here.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are from here haven't left. We've just gotten a bunch more friends that have come in.
Tom's Country Place. He was a vegetable grower, and it was one that was in 54. Anyways, that's where he started there, because he come to council to get okay on.
During the party center.
The catering and party center.
Mm-hmm. And now his family's third generation of them that run the Thomas Country Place.
Are there stories of any prominent Avon people or events in Avon history that you would like to share?
I don't know. There were seven, the mayor, and it was seven on council. And I'm the only one left out of any of them.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us? And maybe you can explain some of the photos that you brought.
Where's that one of the school? Newspaper.
Yeah, that one was when Center Road was still a dirt road.
Yeah, because I asked him on this one. This was, he said, was the old hay barn that they had. You know, this was 83 as dirt road. This was probably my great 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 grandfather's original homestead that came. They came here, and it was what? How many? 50 acres, or what was it? 20.
60, 60, 40. Yeah, 20.
Do you know
40.
What year this picture was taken? Or
yeah, we were trying to base on it, but it's hard to say.
That was probably in the 30s, I bet.
Right.
Okay.
And then she'll explain this.
That was
we dug
another
up this
interesting thing. A relative named Camilla Fitch, who was born in 1808. Actually, there was no school in Avon when she was probably in her 40s or so, still, like in the 1830s or 1840s. So she actually got a small grant and opened. So this is even earlier than any of the Avon school houses are recognized. But we just found this article not too long ago. It's actually her obituary, but we didn't realize that she started this schoolhouse in Avon with about six kids because her passion was children and teaching, and that's kind of, a lot of our family has been teachers over the years. So that was kind of neat that we found out. We didn't even know this when they were doing the school history that this was...
I guess the way it says there was no public funds unless there was...
A building
or children involved for, I think, a six-month period. Mm-hmm. So once there was a... So she took them into her one-room house or whatever and actually started teaching there. And then after that 6 months, then there was funds... granted for them to start
an official school.
Official school.
Or the Baptist Church is on Sewing Ridge. That street there, whatever it is.
Hayes.
So that's where the school was. There's two houses built on that property now, but that was where the original school was. And my uncle, there's a stone school on 83. That's where he went to school. Then there was one on Sewing Ridge and East Avon, where all schools.
But they were all probably just one room, type things where village. Most of the grades were together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the village school up here was the first one that was a big enough building.
To house more than, half the
just one kids. Room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the biggest thing, just from, from his standpoint, I have four children. All four children live in Avon.
And yes, it's all the cousins his grandchildren, of his great-great-grandchildren.
Right.
A lot of them are still staying in town.
Yeah, I had nine grandkids in the Avon school system, 3 or 4 years ago from kindergarten up to being a senior in high school. So that's kind of, I think of anything that kind of what we were saying before, it's family and people knowing one another.
Trying to keep us a smaller town feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In this community that's not really small anymore.
But even in this picture here, this was Northridgeville Centennial, and my grandfather actually drove the horses down 83 on a small trailer. Then he hooked up into the Ridgeville's old horse fire engine thing. But you can imagine now trying to drive a team of horses.
And the traffic
down 83.
Down road. Yeah. But he, my grandfather, he worked every day until he passed out in the fields cultivating that time. My dad at that time had, small tractors and stuff that we do, but he'd have the horses hitched up. He'd be cultivating. We used to pick sweet corn where there was a single horse on a sled, and you just start them in the row, and you went on both sides and threw the corn, and you'd tell him you giddy up, and the horse would start up, and you'd tell him whoa, and he'd stop, and he'd fill up, and everything like that till you got to the end. But
in that time, sweet corn in the spring was a big thing, because we used to sell, and then, when Billinghurst,
that's gone.
Yeah, that used to be right across the street. That was Billinghurst.
Smith's actually. On this side in Billinghurst. But they used to, they'd come and get some, take us to some farmer's stores.
And that was another thing that probably hurt more. You would try to beat the weather, and like you said, sweet corn, everybody waits for sweet corn, and everybody waits for the first tomatoes and everything else. And, so if you got a little advantage, you can make your year just by being a week early or whatever. But now with the shipping from Mexico and everything else, there's fresh sweet corn all the time. There's demand
most
all the time.
Most of the things you can buy all the time.
So that kind of really hurt more than anything else, trying to get ahead.
Were any of these other pictures in Avon?
They're all.
Okay.
Yeah, this actually where Fitch's Farm Market is, that barn, that was my grandfather's barn, and then they tore that down, and that's right where the stand is right now, right on
that
barn.
Is this you in the picture? Or?
That was his dad.
Okay.
That was his
dad. Yeah.
And this is one of the early schoolhouses in Avon, too. Really early.
Hello.
Yeah, it's the trouble. I guess you don't think of putting dates on it.
Which
is always nice if you could.
Do you have any idea where it stood?
Is that, which road is that house on? Is that
no,
one on 83?
This is my mother's family here. It was one of their houses.
Okay.
This is the grandma.
And this is the Methodist. This is the Methodist church, right? The old Methodist church.
Right.
The old Methodist mm-hmm. church.
Yeah. These are all buildings. I mean, this is definitely probably in the 20s. That's Uncle Si's house, right? Yeah. Those are just all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for letting us interview you.